May the Lord help us to commence our services today with hymn 726. 726. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night, day spring from on high be near, day star in my heart appear. Hymn 726.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the First Epistle of John, chapters 1 and 2. The First Epistle of John, chapters 1 and 2. John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth for ever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. O thou most Holy Lord God, teach us now to pray. Grant to us each that true spirit of prayer, as we would come before thee and bow our heads in reverence, solemnity, being mindful of whom it is that we approach by faith, the Almighty God. Oh, to come unto the Father by the Son, through the Son by the Holy Ghost, one God, the three persons in the glorious Godhead. Oh, grant us faith and help us to come aright. Oh, that we may come. A way has been made for poor fallen sinners here upon this earth to approach before thy holy majesty, a new and a living way, even through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to behold him there at the throne of grace, to behold that blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Oh, to behold that precious blood, which sprinkled round I see, provides for those who come to God an all-prevailing plea. And we come as sinners, but oh, to plead that blood that does for sin atone, and to behold him who stands between an holy God and poor fallen unholy sinners, even the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. O Lord, then help us to come aright. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, but he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Lord, we come as sinners, but we read that this man receiveth sinners. O Lord, we come just as we are, but we come on the grounds of thy mercy. Oh, not on the grounds of our worth, not on the grounds of our works, not on the grounds of our merits, not on the grounds of our doings, for sin is mixed with everything, but on the grounds of thy mercy. And thou art merciful. But God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, that real religion is very personal, betwixt our souls and never-dying souls, and Almighty God. Oh, to be blessed with that wonderful gift of everlasting life. Dear Lord Jesus, help us to look to thee. Hast thou not said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Oh, what a mercy if we have heard thy voice. What a mercy also if we desire to hear thy voice. How solemn if we have not heard thy voice and have no desire to hear thy voice. Man looketh upon the outward appearance. God looketh upon the heart. Lord, as we gather here on this returning Lord's Day morning, we would remember those who listen in, who gather together from their own homes. Lord, thou knowest how we have turned aside. how we have entered in. Oh, if there is that desire to hear thy voice, as we have read thy word, to hear thy voice. Oh, Lord, grant us that hearing of faith. And what a solemn thing if we're satisfied with a mere formality and duty and expectation. But may there be that wrought of God in our hearts, drawing us unto thyself in that felt need to hear thy voice, that voice of love and mercy. Oh, to hear the gospel, to hear the word of God, to hear the voice of a good shepherd, to hear the voice of the beloved. Oh, to hear thy voice this day. Lord, be not silent, but cause thy voice to be heard. And may there be that wrought of God. May the Holy Spirit move upon the face of the waters. He shall take of mine and show it unto you. And may there be some application of the word of God to never dying souls even this day, that we shall abide, that which will bring forth fruit in due season to thy honour and to thy glory. And oh, what a great mercy if there might be joy in heaven this day over sinners brought to repentance, brought to their need of salvation, their need of the mercy of God, their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, and oh, to turn to him, and to look to him, and to hope in him, and oh, to plead that blood that does for sin atone. Lord, let thy work appear in our hearts and in the hearts of many to glorify thy name. So, Lord, remember each and every one. Bless the dear little ones, the children, the young people growing up into life, and oh, what a day they're growing up in. Be that wall of fire round about them. Put thy holy tender fear deep into their hearts. May they be taught of God, taught to pray. Prove thee to be their prayer hearing and prayer answering God. Lord, help them, remember them, those in education and studies, and how these things are being greatly affected at these times. Lord, rule and overrule, and do help them. And go before them and bless them each. Remember, dear parents, also grant much grace and wisdom, bringing our children up aright and setting a good example to them. Pray for all in the midst of life, many burdens, cares, responsibilities. And Lord, at this time, in how our lives have been affected, the various restrictions and requirements, oh, what great changes there have been in our lives. But Lord, to know thy very present help, and all needed wisdom and strength and ability in all that we do, as unto the Lord. Remember older friends also, in what must be their latter days here upon this earth. And the outward man perisheth, but may they prove the inward man to be renewed day by day. Bless them in their latter days, and at eventide, oh, may it be light. We would remember all in affliction and sickness, those who are laid low, those who are poorly, unwell, those in pain or discomfort. Sanctify these things. Draw near to them. Would it please thee, Lord, to grant that healing, restoring, strengthening mercies? Oh, Lord, do bless them, we pray. Oh, Lord, do remember any in trouble, any in trials, difficulties, those who may be struggling, suffering, Those who were lonely, keenly felt at this time, remember any also in bereavement and loss. Comfort every sad heart. Lord, bless this cause of truth. And above all, may they prove that thy Spirit remaineth here. Lord, work mightily in the midst. Pull down those strongholds of Satan. And, O Lord, set up thy kingdom in the heart of many, the kingdom of thy grace. And, O, might this prove to be the spiritual birthplace of many a soul yet. Remember the church, bless them with peace and unity, and grant prosperity. And, O Lord, help the officers of the church, grant much wisdom and grace. Lord, remember thy servants who minister here from time to time. May they come as sent of God with that word from the Lord, and may the gospel trumpet be sounded forth here with no uncertain sound, and cause the dead to hear. O Lord, in this evil day in which we live, have mercy, spare thy people. O Lord, rule and overrule, and may there yet be a falling out rather to the fervence of the gospel, to glorify thy name. We pray for all thy people. O, remember the suffering church of God. O, remember those who are oppressed and persecuted in fiery trials and great tribulations. O Lord, remember them, those who are isolated, who have no one to meet with, to worship as we do this day. Lord, remember them. Remember all thy true sent servants. And, O Lord, would it please thee yet to raise up, equip, thrust forth others into the gospel ministry, men sent of God. Oh, what a great need there is. Lord, in mercy appear. Where there may be those yet in the backsides of the desert, oh Lord, being prepared, being taught, oh may that time come when they must go and show themselves unto Israel. That time when they must go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Lord, remember Zion in this. We look to thee. O Lord, remember all thy people. And O Lord, in these days in which we live, to be kept faithful. Oh, how solemn do we read of those who turn back, those who prove that that work of grace was never in their hearts, those who only had a profession of religion, those who went out from us. Very solemn, very searching, all to be kept, kept by the power of God. Lord, keep us in this evil day, and keep us faithful to thy word. Oh, may we not turn to the left hand, nor to the right hand. Oh, may we not turn to legalism, nor to lightness, but kept in that narrow way which leadeth unto life. O Lord, remember us each. We would be thankful for many mercies, many blessings. Of a truth, we have much to be thankful for, too much we take for granted. We would be thankful for being enabled to gather together. And we pray, Lord, that this wonderful blessing and privilege may yet continue. How previous we'd taken it for granted, and yet how quickly it was taken away. And yet, Lord, we would be thankful whereby means were found for the word still to be preached, services to continue remotely. And, Lord, we would remember those causes of truth which yet meet remotely for various reasons, who would gather together. O Lord, remember them. And we do pray, Lord, if it would please thee that soon these restrictions might be lifted, that the plague might be stayed, or that there might be a returning to how things were, in all being enabled to gather together to worship thee according to thy word. Lord, we look to thee. Have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. Lord, in wrath remember mercy. Oh, do appear for us at this time. Oh, when we consider what we deserve, we just tremble that thy hand shall be outstretched still. But, oh Lord, there is a little praying remnant, crying, pleading, imploring, begging thee, Lord, oh, spare us yet, have mercy. Oh, take away thy rod. Now, Lord, help us as we return to thy word, open it up to our understanding, and apply thy word this day to glorify thy name. Pardon and forgive our every sin. Send answers of peace. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 302. If unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending day and night, a worldly crowd to din thy ears, and crowds of unbelieving fears to hide him from thy sight. Hymn 302.
Thank you.
Yes, but Lord, may be pleased to grant his gracious help. I direct our prayerful attention to the first epistle of John, chapter 2, and we read verses 1 and 2. The first epistle of John, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The epistle, first epistle of John, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, but in particular these words resting upon our spirit. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. If any man sin, and who is he that sinneth not? If any man sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If any man sin, there is none righteous, no, not one. If any man sin, Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. Sin entered into this world. All born in sin, shapen in iniquity. If any man sin, the wages of sin is death. If any man sin, they sin against God, Almighty God. God who gave those 10 commandments unto mankind to be broken upon pain of death. We are living in these awful times when man speaks so lightly, glibly, irreverently, so on, of Almighty God. Man who says there is no God. Man who would rather believe in a lie than the truth. Man who thinks he can rise up against God. Man who thinks he can judge God. Man who one day shall die because he's a sinner. It is appointed unto men once to die. There is no avoiding it. Oh, let mankind try whatever they can to keep, as it were, man alive, to prevent death. They shall fail. The one certainty there is in life that one day we shall die. And after death, not annihilation. Not everyone going to a supposed heaven, a paradise. After death, the judgment. That great judgment day. That day of eternal separation. The Lord Jesus speaks of between the sheep and the goats. Between those who have found grace in his sight, those who have not. Those who are amongst his people, those who are not. Those who loved him those who loved him not, those who needed him, and those who needed him not, those who looked to him, and those who looked to him not, those taught of God, and those who taught themselves, those who were taught the truth, and those who were never taught the truth. How is it with you? And yes, how is it with me? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven, are thy credentials clear? Is Jesus Christ thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Is he the one thing needful? Is he thy only hope, only plea, only refuge? If we are taught of God, we shall be taught the truth as it is in Jesus. The sinner's only hope, the sinner's only plea. If any man sin, it's too easy to look upon others and say they have sinned. The Holy Spirit will so teach a child of God that they have sinned. I am the sinner. I have sinned against God. Or the Holy Spirit will make that sinner a guilty sinner. How the hymn writer also penned, though all are sinners in God's sight, yes, all of mankind, everyone upon the face of the world, all are sinners, yet few so in their own. Very few so. A little remnant. What a mercy to be found among them. Or not just to have an outward acknowledgement of sin, that I'm a sinner, but oh to feel, oh to feel. And that doesn't necessarily mean deep conviction of sin. To use that expression, it doesn't mean that one is taken and, as it were, shaken over hell. It doesn't mean necessarily that one can't sleep at night because of conviction of sin. But it's manifest, I believe, in a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's manifest in real repentance, to repent of our sins. If we repent of our sins, we acknowledge before God that we have sinned against him. We have broken his holy commandments. There will be confession of sin. Again, not lip confession, but confession in the closet. Not confession coming from the head, the mind, but confession coming from the heart. That broken heart. God, who looketh upon the heart and sees a broken sinner, truly penitent, truly with that godly sorrow. Do we know anything of that godly sorrow? If any man sin, Lord, that's me. I'm the sinner. I have sinned against thee. And the child of God also painfully feels what he deserves. What he deserves in punishment of his sins. Oh, there are no light views of God, no flippant thoughts of God. Indeed, the soul trembles before God. and all that trembling. And if my soul were sent to hell, Lord, that's what I deserve. I deserve a punishment of all my sins. I deserve thy wrath, thine anger. God, oh, how he hates it. Such an abhorrence of every sin. And God also will punish sin. The justice of God, the severity of God, the righteousness of God, the soul that sinneth. In the day that thou eatest thereof, or sinnest against me thereof, ye shall surely die. If any man sin, eternal death, eternal damnation. If any man sin, or when one is truly convicted of being a sinner, they're being humbled under the mighty hand of God, they're being broken before God. They're beginning to understand something of a plague of their own heart. That heart deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked. If any man sin. And it's not one or two sins, is it? It's not a few sins. It's not just sins of deed in what we have done. Our hands have handled, our feet have walked, of actions. Nor is it also just sins of word in what we have spoken. But sins of thought. Or the imagination of man's heart is only evil continually. And how many times have we thought bad things of God? How many times have we murmured? How many times have we complained? How many times have we rebelled? How many times have we fretted? How many times have we tried to argue with God, saying, that's not fair. I don't deserve that. Or how many times have we in our minds so sinned against God, such sinful thoughts. If any man sin, oh, the multitude of our sins, the magnitude of our sins, the abundance of our sins in which we have sinned against God. If any man sin, any man brought to know that he is a sinner. A sinner in thought, word and deed. Not only sins of commission, but sins of omission. At first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And already we fall down guilty before God. For we have not. We have come far, far short. Neither do we love our neighbour as ourselves, because so often we put self first. If any man sin, all the wages of sin is death. The holiness of God, the justice of God, the righteousness of God, the purity of God. God is a consuming fire. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, a Saviour, and one who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. A mighty Saviour, an able Saviour, a willing Saviour. All the three expressions we have here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, an advocate, the righteous, and the propitiation. Oh, what a beautiful gospel. Oh, how we have here these words of life. How we have here the sinner's hope and the sinner's plea. Oh, if any man sin, yes, a multitude of sins, a magnitude of sins, an abundance of sins, still we have an advocate with the Father, the righteous Father, the offended Father, the angry Father, who cannot look upon sin, but we have an advocate. There is one. Jesus Christ. None other name given us under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If any man sin, or a Saviour, who came to save his people from their sins. And it is his spirit, his people, being born again, quickened by the Holy Spirit, who are being brought into that need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed with grace, of which we have faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is looking to him, believing in him, coming to him. How do the Lord's people come to the Lord Jesus? I often think of it concerning that woman with the issue of blood. She came as a needy soul, and there was no one else who could help her, no one else who could heal her, no one else who could save her, no one else who could do her any good. And yes, in the second hymn we had it there. But there was such a need and such a desire, and there was sufficient faith to venture to him. You see, the Lord had put it in her heart, if I may but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I might come before him, to fall down before him, oh, that finger of faith, to touch him, to touch thee, if we may. It was that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, a crowd around him will be found to keep you and me away, to forbid us, if you will, entrance, to forbid us coming. All that crowd around. But where does faith? That soul shall come. And they shall come also because the dear Lord Jesus, in his great love unto his people, he draws them unto himself. That beautiful word we have in Jeremiah. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's his irresistible grace. And where there's that grace of God in the heart, so there will be that spirit of prayer, and that spirit of prayer will cry unto the Lord, draw me. We will run after thee. Is that our prayer this morning? Is that our desire? Is that our felt need? All to be drawn. Would we be found of those coming to the Lord Jesus as a sinner? You see, all the Lord's people come as sinners unto the Lord Jesus. Those words, though spoken in scorn and derision, yet a different meaning have. A beautiful meaning, a glorious meaning. This man receiveth sinners. Well, there's hope then for the sinner, the guilty sinner, the needy sinner, the burdened sinner, the confessing sinner, the repenting sinner. Oh, there is hope in one, the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. I just want to look first, not in the chronological order here, but Jesus Christ the righteous, who came down to earth from heaven, born of the Virgin, conceived in the womb by the Holy Ghost, the righteous God. But Emmanuel, God with us, the man, Christ Jesus, a real man, but the righteous. And throughout his life, as a real man, he never sinned. The tempter tempted him, but he always resisted the temptation. He resisted the devil. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And as he lived his life, so he came under the law of God. He obeyed the law of God. I so often quote that verse, in him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. And as such, he wove out that robe of righteousness. And there was no spot of defilement. There was no mark of sin to be found in it. Pure, holy, perfect, spotless, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And you remember under the Old Testament dispensation, under the law of God, the offerings which were to be offered up, the various creatures, they also were to be spotless, undefiled, very, very best, without any stain and so on. They were but a type. The Lord Jesus Christ, the antitype, the righteous, who laid down his life, who offered up himself without blemish unto God, or the sacrifice acceptable unto God, his righteousness acceptable, his finished work acceptable, the offering up of himself acceptable, Jesus Christ the righteous, everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who had power to lay down his life, who had power to take it again, as he triumphed over hell, sin and death. Yes, that he shed his own heart's blood upon a cross at Calvary to make atonement for sin. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And at the right hand of the Father in heaven above, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. In the simplest term, propitiation is the mercy seat. And the mercy seat covered perfectly the Ark of the Covenant, in which was the law of God, the two tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, which we as sinners have broken, but which the Lord Jesus has obeyed and magnified the law. Jesus Christ, the righteous, and so has covered for all the sins and failings and transgressions and iniquities of his people. But let us remember the mercy seat, God's mercy. And remember also that mercy seat was to be sprinkled upon and about with the blood of the one that was offered up. And so the Lord Jesus, by his own heart's precious blood, all sprinkled upon the mercy seat, that new, that living way for sinners to approach unto God. And he is the propitiation for our sins. You see, also in this way, the mercy of God. God is merciful. And that is what the awakened sinner needs, is God's mercy. It's a prayer of a publican, God be merciful to me, the sinner. It's a prayer of a psalmist, save me for thy mercy's sake. If we do not feel our need of God's mercy, we're in the most solemn state and condition. If we do feel our need of God's mercy, there is hope. Indeed, we are hoping in God's mercy. Oh, this morning, are you hoping in God's mercy? Is the publican's prayer your prayer, my prayer? Is it, God be merciful to me, the sinner? Well, wherein can God be merciful to sinners? But in his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous. The propitiation. We have a similar word in Romans 3 concerning the Lord Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Something very beautiful there, something very wonderful and glorious, whom God has set forth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish as a guilty sinner, but have through the mercy of God everlasting life, whom God has set forth in his word. The Holy Bible, the sacred scriptures, able to make us wise unto salvation, whom God has set forth. Whom God has set forth, upon Calvary, where Jesus suffered, bled and died to put away sin. At Calvary, the Lord Jesus, in his finished work, he put away sin. He suffered in a room place instead of his people. He bore a punishment instead. He put away sin, whom God has set forth. And Jesus says, look unto me. And the poor sinner, by God-given faith, looks unto Jesus. And he is a propitiation for our sins. For our sins, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Our sins. Which we have committed, which we have done, which we have fought, which we have said, our sins of which we deserve eternal punishment. But the mercy of God, being propitious, merciful, full of mercy. You see that word merciful, full of mercy. God is merciful unto his people for Jesus' sake, who indeed opened that door of mercy at Calvary. Through faith in his blood, his person, his finished work, all that the Lord Jesus has done, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Well, much, much more could be said, but I do just want to come to this. If any man sin, we have an advocate. Yes, Jesus Christ the righteous, the propitiation for our sins, but an advocate. does not an advocate plead the cause of another? So an advocate takes up the case of another. And there are, of course, severe limitations, but in the courts, so an advocate might plead on one who has committed crimes and try and put things in the best light, try and, as it were, reduce the sentence or anything like that. But ah, the Lord Jesus, how different, how much perfectly stronger the advocate who takes up the cause of his dear people with the Father, at the right hand of the Father in heaven above, and he has their names engraven upon his heart. The love of the Lord Jesus to his Father, but also the love of the Lord Jesus unto his people. And within this word advocate, the other literal meaning is paraclete. We have it in one of our hymns with the asterisk, meaning a comforter. And often we think of the paraclete, the comforter, as the Holy Ghost, which is right and correct. But also the Lord Jesus, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you as an advocate, a paraclete, a comforter. Oh, what comfort can a Saviour bring to those who never felt their woe? But ah, what a comfort, and I suppose a comfort where one has an advocating court, that one is able to take up their cause and to press their case, whatever, how much more so the Lord Jesus, oh, when we come to him by faith and look to him, oh, to be our advocate, to take up our cause as a sinner, but then the propitiation for our sins, the advocate with the Father. All but with authority now he asks, or he demands in heaven. You see, the Lord Jesus at Calvary put away the sins of his people. He suffered, he groaned, he bled, he died, he offered up himself to put away sin. He bore the punishment instead. All that the law demanded, he fulfilled. The punishment of God against his people, the Lord Jesus has suffered. Ah, an advocate with the Father. Apparently a comforter. But also within this word advocate, and of course we have it, pleading the cause of another, an intercessor. An intercessor, one to make intercession. Now the Holy Ghost is the intercessor here below, within the hearts of every child of God. He maketh intercession for the saints, the people of God, with groanings which cannot be uttered. He puts prayer into the heart. You see, the prayers of the Lord's dear people are not just in the heads, but from the heart, wrought there by the Holy Ghost. He makes intercession according to the will of God. But another intercessor, one above, the Lord Jesus, the righteous at the right hand of the Father. He also makes intercession for the people of God. He pleads on their behalf. He pleads his finished work. His own precious sin-atoning blood, which cleanseth from all sin. We have it here, don't we? Few verses before in the preceding chapter. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All our sins, his precious sin atoning blood cleanseth away every sin. All that where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound, grace to cover all our sins. We have an advocate with the Father. Just another thought concerning an advocate. The Lord Jesus never turns away any who come to him. He never rejects them, he never dismisses them. He never says, I cannot help you, or I will not help you. And we have that beautifully set forth in the four Gospels, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, of all those who came to him, both Jew and Gentile, young and old, far and near, rich and poor. And he took no money, no payment. And they came just as they were. We have those who were lepers, those who were defiled, those who were notable sinners. We have those who were blind, deaf and dumb, possessed of devils, all sorts who came to him by faith. And not one did the Lord Jesus turn away. And not one did the Lord Jesus say, I cannot help you or I will not help you. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. All that faith in coming to him. It's one of the greatest fears, isn't it? Perhaps it's a fear of one here this morning, one listening this morning. If I do venture to him, but I'm so bad, I'm so sinful, I'm so full of unbelief and doubts and fears, and I've been such a sinner, surely the Lord Jesus will cast me out, turn me away. Is that a real fear this morning? Oh, the Lord help you to come and to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And through Psalm 107, which that verse ends, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, soul trouble. And he delivered them out of all their distresses. And if any man sin, how distressing is sin, indwelling sin. Still we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What a comfort this must have been to dear David. Oh, when he sinned, both concerning Uriah, Bathsheba, but also in numbering the people, when he turned again to the Lord, oh, we have an advocate with the Father. What a comfort this must have been to Samson, grinding in the mill, but still we have an advocate with the Father. What a comfort this must have been to dear Peter, though all men deny thee, yet will not I, and Peter denied him, but still we have an advocate with the Father. Oh, the wonderful mercy of God. And when Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, would learn this wonderful truth, he felt himself to be the chief of sinners. No one a greater sinner than I. But still, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Or might we be found of those who by faith are coming to him, coming on the grounds of his mercy, coming just as we are, and yet coming with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, coming in true repentance, godly sorrow, coming perhaps bowed down by our load of sin, coming, oh, labouring, heavy laden. And indeed our sins will weigh heavy upon us, and we know what our sins deserve. And oh, the child of God, two very, very painful lessons he must learn. One, he is a sinner. And secondly, he cannot cease from sin. Very painful lesson. Oh, how the child of God would cease from sin, flee from sin. And yet the old man of sin, like that filthy fountain, yet spewing forth his filth and uncleanness. Oh, if any man sin, but still we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, our only hope, our only plea. You see, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he strips away every thread of self-righteousness that we have, that we might look to the Lord Jesus, the righteous, He will convict of sin. The child of God, oh, how he feels to be such a sinner. And yet brought to hope in the mercy of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the propitiation for our sins. And would have that faith in his blood, his shed blood. And as such, come to him. For we have an advocate with the Father. Oh, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And the Lord, he comes by his word. And he comes by his spirit. And he comes just where they are. And just like that certain Samaritan went to that one who fell amongst the thieves going down to Jericho. Ah, whom the priest and the Levite would pass by on the other side. Ah, but this good Samaritan, when he saw him, he had compassion upon him and went to him, poured in the oil and wine of the gospel, bound up those wounds which sin hath made, and took care of him. We have an advocate, we have a comforter. Jesus Christ the righteous, who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God. By him, looking to him, pleading with him, all pleading his righteousness, pleading his name, pleading his blood, pleading his merits, pleading his finished work. Oh, is everything in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour of sinners. Jesus Christ the righteous, but all to know him. And that's the desire of every living soul, every spirit-taught soul, that I may know him personally, savingly, longing for that manifestation, that revelation, longing to hear his voice, longing to feel the comforts of his love and the mercy of God, longing to obtain mercy. We have an advocate with the Father, as so the sinner, pardoned, forgiven, all the sins put away. Ah, the law has nothing now to demand. Christ has paid to its very jot and tittle. We have an advocate with the Father. And so we read of the sinners saved by grace. They're accepted in the Beloved. They're complete in him. They're perfect in Christ Jesus. Oh, might we be found in him, believing in him. Might we be found looking to him. Might we be found coming to him. The Lord bless us with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or it's repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and to know him as a captain of our salvation made perfect through sufferings, to know him, my Lord, my God, my Saviour, my Redeemer, my Comforter, my Friend, my Advocate, my all and in all, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Yea, that I may win Christ and be found in him. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sin. So not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, meaning all the Lord's people throughout all time, all that look to him, all that believe in him. Or may it be so with you and with me. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pickett is again expected to preach this evening at 6:30, and this afternoon Sunday school will be on Zoom. Mr. Pickett also hopes to address our prayer meeting tomorrow evening, and Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Burgess is expected to preach at 10:30 and 2:30, and he hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the morning service. And there will be no Sunday school next week. Let us close with hymn 1033. 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.